Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. It is April 3rd. It's a Tuesday. This is Michael Collins Piper. This is not a previously recorded program. Sorry I missed you last night, but I had a little furniture delivery crisis. Well, you know, I've told you time and again that my books are just starting to overflow on these shelves and I need to rearrange it. Well, I finally got my new shelf. April 10th. Forgive me for this late start here, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little bit of a technical problem, which is entirely my fault, not the folks at RBN. This is a live broadcast here on this Tuesday, April 10th. I'm in the process, ladies and gentlemen, I told you, of preparing my apartment for massive renovation. I don't want my ceiling to fall on me as much as the Anti-Defamation League and Eric Hufschmidt and the American Jewish Committee and many other people would like my ceiling to fall. It's not going to happen. But in the meantime, folks, I'm confronted with this massive task of wrapping up all sorts of breakables and just doing those necessary things that have to be done to make this tragic work necessary and possible. In any case, we do have a live broadcast here tonight, and all things being equal, we are going to be joined by two guests here this evening. They are John DeNugent and Margaret Hufstickler. Margaret and John, as you probably know, are a couple, and they are active in the revisionist movement, and they just returned from a very interesting 2 weeks in Germany. And some other places. I'm not even sure they were in Germany. We'll find out exactly where they were. But they're going to be bringing us some news and information about the revisionist movement, about nationalist efforts in Europe, and all sorts of other interesting things. John and Margaret have been associated for some time now with the Barnes Review, the historical revisionist magazine, of which I'm a contributing editor. Both, as I say, have been guests on this program. John has been active in the American nationalist movement for a long, long time, knows lots of people all over the United States, and it might be said, really, all over the world. John, incidentally, is a former Marine officer, multilingual, as is Margaret, and I emphasize that John is a former Marine officer because in this day and age, we are told to support the troops, and John does support the troops, and he agrees with me and with you and most, I'm sure, of the other people listening into this broadcast tonight, that the best way to support the troops is to bring them home. Bring them home, protect our borders, protect our country, protect our fellow Americans, not police the world on behalf of the Zionist powers that want to turn our military into their personal mercenary force. Let me see if John and Margaret have joined us. John and Margaret, are you there? They have not joined us. Well, I'm expecting them to join us very shortly, ladies and gentlemen. And if they don't, we'll proceed with the show in any case. I did see John earlier today, and he said he would be joining us, so we'll keep an eye out for them. In the meantime, we are going to the break. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you, rather exhausted, but very much alive, from Capitol Hill in Washington, which is the headquarters of American Free Press and the Barnes Review. Stay tuned, folks.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper, coming to you from right here in Washington. Very exhausted. Mike Piper coming to you from Washington. We have been joined by John DeNugent and Margaret Huffstickler. Hello, John and Margaret.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Well, I was telling the folks here, I'm in the midst of having my apartment reorganized, and it's one hell of a mess, but it has to be done. But aside from my mess, You and Margaret just spent a very interesting 2 weeks in Europe, and I had quite forgotten exactly where it was you were. So if you could just kind of give us a brief rundown as to where you were roughly and what you were doing.
Well, we first it started off with a marvelous flight on Icelandic. You know, it starts off in that beautiful Scandinavian nation. You fly right up over Canada, you go past Greenland, which should be called Iceland because it's full of ice. And then you land in Iceland, which is completely green, and it's very unusual island. Spend a couple of hours there. It's it looks like the moon were terraformed. There's just volcanoes and mountains, and not a tree in the whole island. It's huge, and all these beautiful, beautiful white folks. They look half of them look like Norwegian, Swedish Vikings, and the other half look like Irish lasses. And so it started off with this wonderful, wonderful trip up there. And last minute, we got excellent values flying over to Europe. And we continued on to Frankfurt, Germany. And then Margaret and I spoke down in the Rhineland area near the Rhine, a place called Weinheim, which means wine home. And then we went up to visit with a very fine German patriot north of Frankfurt, named Manfred Roeder, surrounded by police, most notorious. They called him Nazi terrorist in the German newspapers, and that was quite an experience. And then we traveled, and we met with a great American patriot, Dr. David Duke, who has a PhD in history from the largest university in Ukraine. And we also met with one of the most outstanding people I have met who were not well known. We met with Vincent Renouard, a French revisionist on World War II history, with six outstanding kids, four little blonde kids and two little redheads, and a lovely, lovely wife who still has a figure like a 20-year-old after six children.
After six children, yeah.
That's right. And we met with a wonderful American named Roy Armstrong, who is married to a German woman. He's been there for 30 years when he hasn't been back in the United States helping out patriots.
I always call Roy my cousin. My mother's maiden name was Armstrong. We may well be related.
Well, he's 6'3", and he does have strong arms. He's a wonderful guy, and he has raised, with his wife, six kids. And I tell you what, you know, so many people feel, well, I have a wife, I have a mortgage, I have a car, I have a credit rating, and so I can't be high profile. There's nobody more profile than Vincent Renouard and his wife, and Roy Armstrong and his wife, and they've raised six beautiful children somehow, and they're extremely high profile. So it puts all of us to shame.
Roy has been active literally all over the world, working with various nationalists in various countries over the past 25 or 30 years, I think it's accurate to say.
Well, you know, and he's run for office in Seattle, where he's from. He is, like a lot of people out there in Washington State, he's part Swedish as well as Scottish and German. He's also run for office and did extremely well on the Democratic ticket in Louisiana. And he got so many black votes that the theory is that blacks thought he was related to Louis Armstrong.
I may well be
probably
true.
The only explanation that makes any sense. But he's a very fine fellow, and we saw, again, we were further down towards southern Germany, and we saw Dr. David Duke, who has a lovely and brilliant girlfriend from Russia. He's been with her for 7 years. Despite all the things you've heard about David Duke being a skirt chaser.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that funny? There's all these stories about David being so promiscuous. I mean, let's face it, those are the rumors. But over the years, I've known David, and I've known him for a long time. I think he's had like three or four girlfriends in about 20 years. Yeah.
Exactly.
If even that many, yeah.
Well, some women, I guess, have fantasized about David. But she was a lawyer in the Kremlin, and absolutely brilliant. And David is... He is bicontinental now. He's in Europe and he's in the United States, and with his laptop computer, he's running his magnificent website, davidduke.com, and he's going and he's speaking all over the Western world.
He's primarily based in Austria, right at this time, though, is he not?
Yeah, he does have a few places that he's in that general area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But David is doing very well. I had the privilege of speaking about the subject of my article in the January-February issue of the Barnes Review magazine, namely Psychopaths and History.
And that, of course, is something we talked about here on this program on several occasions, directly speaking about that subject and some related subjects.
Well, people really identified with it because I guess they see their politicians as being equally psychopathic to ours. And my fiance Margaret sang for us some beautiful Scottish and Irish and English and German songs. In fact, over in Germany, she sang Lily Marlene, which is actually a World War I marching song, which was then put to beautiful music in the 1930s. And the British and the Americans, as well as the Germans, sang this beautiful song about a girl waiting for her soldier outside the barracks under a street lantern, a very haunting song. And so Margie was a big hit, and she is she's sitting next to me right now, and I'm praising her, so she's turning red.
You know, an interesting little anecdote. The late Colonel Fletcher Prouty who was a very good friend of Liberty Lobby in the spotlight. He's very well known to a lot of JFK assassination researchers. He had a lot of interesting experiences and anecdotes from his many, many years in the Pentagon. And he told the story that when the German troops surrendered to the Allies in North Africa, and all these thousands and thousands of Germans were coming in to turn in their weapons to the British forces, the British forces saluted the Germans by singing Lily Marlene. And the German forces saluted them back by singing, I think, It's a Long Way to Tipperary. Isn't that an interesting story? And it just goes to show you that the men who fight the wars are not as so insane and so pathological as the people like the Churchills and the Stalins and the Roosevelts and the Bushes.
That's right. We
That's
have
right.
To get to where they call the shots, not these psychopaths.
Yes, welcome aboard, Margaret. This is the first time we've heard your beautiful voice here tonight. So your show, Margaret, when you appeared on this program with me the last time by yourself, now John, I guess, was with you, and we talked about the economics of Hitler Germany.
Yes.
That program received a lot of attention and a lot of positive feedback here.
Well, that's great.
Including death threats?
You know, well, sometimes when you tell the truth, it does cause you to be threatened, unfortunately. But now that's one thing I wanted to ask you about, John. Did you, while you were speaking, you obviously had to be very careful about what you spoke about in Europe. Did you have any signs of, you mentioned a very big police presence at the meeting where you spoke with Manfred Roeder. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, as you know, I'm involved with the Revisionists on the Front Lines news column, which is in the Barnes & Noble newsletter, and now we're adding that to the Barnes & Noble magazine because we want to talk about the Revisionists and the White Nationists and what's how they are faring. You know, the peaks and valleys of their lives and the triumphs and the persecutions. And as I wrote last year, because I spoke at a meeting in Barcelona, Spain, with Pedro Varela, everybody that I met then, last year and this year, everybody has been behind bars or is going behind bars or has been indicted. Pedro Varela, I came after he was arrested. And
John, I just want to add, none of these people that have been arrested or face going to prison or have been in prison, they're not rapists, they're not murderers, they're not child molesters.
Well, they're much worse. Much
crimes?
Worse. They're thought criminals.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thought criminals only, and you know they get investigated. They pour hate and vitriol out over them in the newspapers to set it up. Then they arrest them. Sometimes ninjas and commandos with automatic weapons storm their place, all with the TV cameras running live, and they're arrested, strip searched. It's the anti-terrorist police of each country that storms in, not just regular cops, but they come in with SWAT teams to arrest a 65-year-old man who's busy sipping his herbal tea and taking his
vitamins. That's an interesting point you make, that when these SWAT team raids have happened, they've obviously been pre-planned. People at the highest levels know they're going to happen, and they arrange for the media to be there.
Yes. It's a show.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Before the show trial, there's the show arrest, because they're obviously terrified of the power of the truth. And just to skip on to another little topic here before I go back to the police.
Yeah, incidentally, John, we have a break coming up here just in about 20 seconds. So
okay.
If you want to just hold that thought till we come back from the break.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have John DeNugent here and Margaret Huffstickler. They just returned, as you see, from a very interesting 2 weeks in Europe, moving in the very circles in Europe that are under fire from the thought police in Europe. And, folks, the thought police in Europe are controlled, rather, I should say, they are the same people who are the thought police in the United States. What's happening in Europe is a preview of what's going to happen in this country. if we don't stand up and do something about it. Stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here with John DeNugent and Margaret Huffstickler. I don't know if we're going to have time for phone calls, but if you want to try to go ahead and call in, you might wait a couple minutes. The number here is 800-313-9443. Okay, John, before we went to the break, we were talking about your visit, your visit with Manfred Roeder, who's been a longtime German dissident, and we're talking about the fact that there was a very big police presence there when you spoke. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, Manfred lives up on a mountain. He's about 2,000 feet up, and in late March, there was still beautiful, beautiful German mountainside and snow everywhere. It was like Christmas, and he, you know, always has the cultural events. People play music and poetry, and courageous people come and give speeches, and all the roads were blocked off by police, and, you know, nothing is too good for the public servants of Zionism, all driving Mercedes and Mercedes buses and BMWs, and they're just parked there, and everybody who comes up that road, they stop you. They take out a camera, and they take a picture of your driver's license or your ID card, and then the next day, there's going to be an article in your local paper, wherever you came from, saying that, you know, Hans Schmidt or Sepp Bauer was at the meeting of their Nazi terrorist, Manfred Roeder. And the purpose is to get you fired instantly from your job. So at Manfred's meetings, what you find is young people, you find unemployed people, and you find retired people. But all these people in the middle with wives and kids and cars and mortgages, they're usually terrified because a German company will say, because we might do business with overseas and we depend on exports, we can't afford to have a Nazi. It could destroy our business. So they fire you on the spot, and they say, well, he's a terrorist. He's a convicted terrorist. So you're fired. And Germany has 10% unemployment. So it's nothing but terrorism. It's terrorism by the state to say, you can think whatever you want, but you better say it while shaving in the mirror. If you speak to any other person, we'll ruin you economically and we'll defame you. So people were there. People were there. And, you know, this is a man, Manfred Roeder, 13 years he's already done in prison for saying Germany should be free of Zionist control. And it was my first experience giving a speech where, you know, you have to watch your P's and Q's. It's not that hard to do, though. You clearly, you don't say things like, for example, the Jews or the blacks. Or, you know, you talk about the fact there are some Jews who are fighting against this, and there are other Jews who are bad. And I referred to the problem of psychopathic elements in the Jewish people. Now, when we were down in Weinheim, this beautiful, beautiful city that was never bombed in World War II, there we were with Gunter Deckert, and he has done 5 years, 5 years in prison. And then we saw David Duke, and he had done 14 months in prison.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And Vincent Renouard, he's out on parole. He was sentenced to 2 years, and he hasn't. They ordered him, you must, because you're a revisionist, you must see a psychiatrist and be have your head examined. You must prove that you're looking for a real job and not being a revisionist publisher.
In other words, you're not allowed to publish revisionist things. That would be a violation of your parole if you dare to publish politically incorrect things in Germany.
And they figured because the man has 6 children, a lovely wife, you know, he's going to back down because he's out on parole. He's already been sentenced to 2 years. This is back in American Free Press a couple of years ago that I reported on this. This man has a profound belief in God. Like Mel Gibson, my friend Joe Fields out in California and many others, he's a traditionalist Catholic, Latin Mass and so forth, and absolutely fearless. He believes God will somehow look after him and his family, and magnificent human beings I met over there.
You know, John, you mentioned that there were so many young people there. I wanted you to comment on that. How are young people in Germany, for example, how are they responding to this this pressure? I mean, do they really believe the great lies of the Holocaust, or that there was a mass extermination program? Do they believe that 6 million Jews were ruthlessly slaughtered by the Nazis? All of these things we're taught here in the United States.
Well, I tell you, there's a vast general cynicism. The biggest thing I noticed, and I'm not talking about people like us who read revisionist literature, but if you're referring to just the general public, Margaret, because Margaret understands German quite well, and she's translated from German as well as French and Spanish and Italian, and we got to talk with just regular folks. And, for example, I spoke with a food service worker at the Frankfurt train station. It's a beautiful building right across from the skyscrapers of Frankfurt, which is so full of banks they call it Bankfurt, or they call it, it's on the Main River, so they call it Manhattan. And that's where the European Central Bank is, where all the euros are made. It's a very powerful city. It's kind of like Manhattan. In any case, so here we were in this beautiful train station, and this fellow, I mentioned I was an American, and I had a lot of questions about 9/11, and he immediately picked up on it and said, oh, I'd heard the whole thing was a hoax.
Interesting. John, we have that break coming up here. After this break, though, we're going to have clear 25 minutes to talk. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More on-the-scene news from Occupied Germany. Don DeNugent and Margaret Hufstickler.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here getting, or I should say, getting along with you, a first-hand report. What's happening in Europe today among the nationalists, what people are thinking about the efforts to embroil us in needless foreign wars. And before we went to the break, John was talking about discussing 911 with some young people in Frankfurt, Germany. John, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm sort of a gregarious fellow, and Margaret and I talk with people in the trains, beautiful German trains, by the way, fanatically punctual, gleaming steel. You walk into a bathroom and everything all goes on automatically. You get, you know, the water, hot water goes on, the hot air, and it's unbelievable. And in beautiful narrated voices, next stop, Frankfurt, you know, descend on the right or descend on the left, you know. The trains leave the station, unfortunately, if you're late, exactly to the second, and they come back into the station exactly to the second. But I was so impressed with the technology, but part of the technology is the Internet has covered the continent of Europe, and people are aware that the weapons of mass destruction were a lie by Bush. They're aware of just what vicious bullies the Israelis are. They're aware that their attack on Lebanon was a debacle. They know that 9/11, they've heard that 9/11 was a hoax and that the buildings were brought down by demolitions. I was sitting there taking a little regional train, and there was a member of the German Air Force, which, of course, is called the Luftwaffe. And he was in there with his backpack. A local woman was chatting with him, and she said to him, he says, "I don't understand why we have to be sticking our necks out for the Americans in Afghanistan. We have no business being over there." And the German Luftwaffe soldier said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah." So he was just, NATO is dead, Mike. NATO is dead. You know, some brainwashed German said, "Oh, it was so wonderful. America saved us after World War II and helped us rebuild." It's all gone.
NATO is part of this whole regional approach towards building a world government. And
right.
Like you say, it's just falling to pieces.
It's not in people's hearts anymore. And Israel is viewed as a bully. The thing is, if you were to say the Jews, then people would have a Pavlovian reaction. Oh, you're an anti-Semite. But if you say the Jewish lobby, everybody just shrugs like, of course, the Jewish lobby rules America. It's funny. They have not succeeded in brainwashing these people. And their people all over Europe are very upset about Turks and Arabs and Albanians and all these Muslim minorities. The most shocking thing was Finland. A month ago, Mike, we had two people from the Flemish bloc over in Washington, D.C., and they were saying the good thing about Europe is you can't run very far to get away from the minorities. You know, it's just city after village after city after village, and you can't move away like in America to another state or move to a suburb 50 miles out because you bump into the next city 50 miles out in Europe. Well, but this has been the problem in America. We could always flee from the problems of Mexicans and other minorities taking over our cities. But, you know, you always thought, well, in Scandinavia, if you went up to northern Finland, you'd just find these beautiful blonde, blue-eyed people, and you could. Well, we met an outstanding young activist named Henrik Holapa, and he was down visiting Germany while we were there, and he'd already made a name for himself on the Internet. We met him, took the ferry all the way down to northern Germany, and we met him with a friend of ours named Roy Armstrong, this American, with the six kids. Quite a meeting of the minds and of the cultures. He's from Oulu, which is a city of 100,000 in northern central Finland. It's, you know, it's up there with the Aurora Borealis.
Okay.
The reindeer. Well, guess what? In this city, there are 3,000 Somalis from the Horn of Africa. And they are gang.
What are they doing there, if I may ask?
Well, collecting their minority salary every month.
Yep, they're getting 1,500 euros, which is almost $2,000 a month to move there and live there, under the influence of the richest man in Finland, a certain Aatos Erko, who it happens to be, by amazing coincidence, he's Jewish. He owns the two big newspapers, both called the something Sanomat, which means newspaper. He also owns the two tabloid newspapers. He owns the four biggest stations.
Sounds like a media monopoly to me.
Yeah, he's a Rupert Murdoch of Finland. And for the last 2 years, he's been pouring on the hatred and the bigotry and the prejudice against the Finnish people. If you object to these Africans coming in, and you object to the fact that they are gang-raping these blonde Finnish girls in northern Finland near the Arctic Circle, then you're a vicious Nazi racist. Not him, but you. And so when Henrik Holapa met with an 85-year-old German soldier in Finland, it was front-page news in Oulu. But when in three separate incidences where Finnish girls were gang-raped, the police said, "We have no suspects."
Now, in other words, you're saying that this, when this young Finnish activist,
right,
happened to have a personal meeting with a former Third Reich soldier,
right,
an 85-year-old man who I doubt was raping anyone or gassing any Jews or engaging in any in any violent activities. That was front page news.
Yes,
that's
that was
considered a major crime in Finland in the eyes of this Zionist media baron and by the government, and yet these immigrants can run rampant, raping and committing crimes, and that's just, well, you just have to put up with it.
Well, now, if you're Finn and you're unemployed, the maximum you can get is an equivalent of $500 a month, but you can get $2,000 a month and bring your whole family over if you're from Somalia.
Black, I mean, how do they justify that? There must be some crazed theory.
The theory is the usual one, that you're a horrible racist if you object, and somehow people are vulnerable about enough, because maybe they'll get toughened. I guess they haven't undergone that for as long in Finland. You're a terrible person if you object, and that
absolutely amazing. What kind of crazy world are we living in?
Well, the thing is, you have one person, this one Urko, who is turning Finland upside down. It perfectly illustrates my speech, which, of course, Henrik appreciated, about the fact that there's 4% of psychopaths in every race and country and every religion, and they are pure evil. And they hate the people they live with, and they're trying to destroy them with clear intent. By the way, he returned to Finland. He sent me an email yesterday that he was expecting to be arrested at any moment. Handsome young, his beautiful sort of a light milk chocolate colored hair and deep set eyes, and he's about almost 6 feet tall, fine looking young man, fearless. This is what's happening. Our trip was inspiring because of the courage of the people there. Do you remember the stories, Mike, of Sylvia Stoltz, who was this petite young female lawyer for Ernst Sundel? And she stood up right up in court, and she said, this court is a kangaroo court, and it's just a tool of foreign occupation. It's a continuation.
Yeah, what's happening with her now?
Well, she's gotten a 5-point indictment now.
So, in other words, Ernst Sundel's lawyer, Sylvia Stoltz, mm-hmm. could go to jail just like Ernst Sundel.
Yep. For
obstructing the prosecution.
Yeah,
for trying to impede the prosecution.
She's
a defense lawyer.
Yeah, the prostitution prosecution.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I think the German people need to overthrow their government. I think the good people in the German military should rebel against the German government. I think the German people should rebel against that occupation government. They need to get rid of those criminals and psychopaths and tools of Zionism that are running the show there now on behalf of the international Zionist
movement.
That's
right. I absolutely agree. I want to mention, though, that I think they need a lot of international support. Just on the way there, somehow I was thinking about it, and I was saying to John, you know, if they were all to stand up and say, we want our country back, I wouldn't be surprised if they got bombed just like Iraq, you know, because it's not over. They would say it's being taken over by the neo-Nazis and they're going to do blah, blah, blah. And anyway, that just came into my head. And then when I was at Gunter Deckert's speech afterwards, I was talking to one of the men there who also has a group of his own in Cologne. And he said, what I say to people is, how can we get the truth out without Germany turning into a sheet of glass? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you know, atom bombs.
Interesting.
Said, you know, it's real. It's not. I just hadn't thought about it for a while, but it is real. You know, by the way they say neo-Nazi and the way, you know, there are 18,000 people were arrested this past year in Germany for thought crimes.
18,000 people.
18,000.
Now, that's actually, if you consider the size of Germany, that is a substantial proportion of the population.
That's right.
It is. Now, the thing that strikes an American, and my family's been here since the 1600s, is we have the First Amendment. We have the unlimited right of free speech, and we also have gun freedom. and we can protect ourselves, and we have the ability to rise up. And the duty, as Thomas Jefferson said, the people has the right to change a government that is taking away their liberties. They don't have freedom of speech, and they don't have guns over there. So what I took away from all this, Mike, was it's freedom. It has to be defended by us Americans. We've got to come to power in the United States so we can save the whole rest of the white world, because they're prostrate on their back. They have no freedom of speech, and they have no guns over the fireplace either.
They did when Adolf Hitler was
I'm Margaret, thank you for bringing that up, because I just pointed that out again on the program here the other night. So many American patriots have been fooled into promulgating a myth that somehow Hitler came in and the first thing he did was take everybody's guns. Nothing could be further from the truth.
The fact is that the
occupation government of the United States and the Soviets that came in
and
did, in fact, disarm the German people.
That's right. Absolutely. They were amazed how many guns there were, too, when they came in and started confiscating them. They were, what? Everybody had so many guns because they were allowed to, and they defended themselves with them.
I'll have to say, though, on the positive side, the European Union, of course, has bad leaders at the top, but it's fulfilling this vision of Charlemagne of a united Europe. And it's marvelous that you can drive from France 50 miles an hour, just fly into Germany, and, you know, the language on the signs in the shops changes. But there's no borders, and it's 450 million people living in one big common market.
You know, that's an interesting point, well, John. I've heard a lot of people on both sides of that issue, and I've never really made any conclusions one way or the other, but you see then that common market idea as a largely positive thing.
Well, in other words, the European Union would stay if white nationalists came to power in Europe, they would not get rid of the European Union. They might change the name
and they
would not have open immigration from Africa and the Arab countries. And Germany even has a Vietnamese cigarette mafia running around, but you would change immigration. But it's so wealthy. I've been going to Europe for over 30 years, and everybody has beautiful cars and condos, and everybody has computers, and everybody has cell phones, and the trains are gleaming, and you have the marvelous food, the diversity of cultures. You know, you travel 300 miles, and people are speaking Flemish, and they're speaking French, and they're speaking German, and they're speaking the Austrian dialect, and they're speaking Italian, all within a couple hundred miles. And another great thing, Margaret and I happen to speak a few languages, but all the young people speak English. And the Internet has spread that, but also the school system. And if you don't come across as somebody who loves George Bush, you know, they like Americans, and they admire our technology, and they just feel sorry for us to have such a sorry government.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, in some respects, it seems to me that it's always seemed this way to me, because the contacts I've had from Europeans over the years, I've always gotten the impression that they have a better understanding of what's happening in the United States than the average American does. Is that correct?
Of course. Of course. They don't have our censored presses as much in terms of what's happening here.
And of course, as you pointed out, now with the spread of the Internet, they're getting access to a lot of free ideas and opinions from Americans who are speaking out on the Internet.
Exactly. Well, what you have, of course, is libraries, public libraries, and computers at schools, just as in the United States, have these filters to keep out so-called racist or nationalist websites. But at homes, there's no censorship on home computers.
I don't think that's true. I think that some places cannot get through to Germany, but that they can by circuitous means.
Okay. I mean, there's always gonna be some form of censorship or attempts to censor in any case. But needless to say, I mean, I think they still, even with the press in Europe as controlled as it is, my impression has always been even that the press in Europe is more open than the press here in the United States.
I agree.
Yes, indeed. Another thing that I realized is that people could be more heroic in the United States. When I look at what our comrades are doing in Germany and in France and all these countries, we wimp out, but our European comrades keep on plugging. Now, Roy Armstrong, they have banned him from job after job after job for 25 years. When I saw him, he was literally, he's got six kids, he was literally selling his blood and picking up bottles on the side of the road. But is he giving up on the cause? No way, Jose.
And this is a man who has never raped anybody, never killed anybody, never stolen a dime, yeah. And yet he has trouble getting work. Able-bodied human being whose only crime is to think and think freely.
Exactly.
His wife also, she was just about to get the German equivalent of tenure at her school where she taught. She was teaching French, a very, very good teacher. And, of course, they waited till then, and they canned her.
Absolutely amazing. That's and like
right.
I say, she's not a criminal either, other than being married to a man who thinks freely. All right.
Yes.
We have a break coming up here, our final 5 minutes, hard to believe. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be wrapping it up. A very interesting show here.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping up the hour here with John DeNugent and Margaret Huffstickler. John, I guess the thought that comes to mind, we've heard what's happening in Europe, and there are so many parallels to what's happening here in the United States today. What do you see as the positive signs for American patriots, American nationalists? What is our next step? What are the good things that are going on here?
Well, we know for a fact that the Internet has completely changed the rules of the game. In fact, Abraham Foxman of the Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and let's not call it defamation because defamation is their product, he said that that the Internet was leading to a new anti-Semitism. Of course, they've been talking about the new anti-Semitism for 40 years now, but this is really new. Ironically, it was the Pentagon which created the Internet so they could move U.S. troops around to enforce Zionist will. The DARPANET, now called the Internet, but it is spreading the truth in dozens of languages. I would like to add that as soon as we got off the plane from in Washington, we got back on the plane, and Margaret and I went out to the Detroit area, and we met with a very outstanding young man named Evan Thomas, who was at the Barnesview Conference last fall, and he also played some beautiful Celtic music at David Duke's European American Conference in 2005, and he had a conference in the state capital of Lansing, Michigan, well attended, and Paul Fromm spoke there about conditions in Canada, very funny, very charismatic, and I spoke about psychopaths, and Margaret sang some beautiful white folk music, I also spoke about a spirituality that's appropriate for white folks, and the personal mystical experiences that many people have had, and they don't necessarily share them with other people, but a lot of people have had them. A Gallup poll said 40% of all people have had a strange experience that transformed their life. And people were fascinated to talk about that because it indicated, when you ask me why I'm optimistic, because I believe that there are great and good and spirits and intelligences out there that see our struggle and our despair, and the heroism of staying with this cause, because we know in our hearts it's just and right. And how can we, the 97% that are good, be defeated by the 3% that is bad?
You know, it's interesting, John, that you say that, because during the 2 weeks that you were in Europe and out there in Michigan, I happened to discuss that very thing on this program about the fact that, you know, there is good out there and there is evil out there, and you can't be a Christian without believing in Satan. You know, there's good and there's evil.
Yes.
And evil is showing itself very, very clearly. And those of us who try to be good or like to think that we're good do need to stick together and to fight this battle. Now, John, before we go, I'd like you to give out your email address a couple times in case anybody wants to contact you.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to give out my email address. I have actually a new one that's good for people. You could send me an email at, let me give you my new one here. It's just coming up right now. It's John, J-O-H-N, at johndenugent.com. J-O-H-N-D-E, and then Nugent, N-U-G-E-N-T, johndenugent.com.
John@johndenugent.com. All right, John@johndenugent, D-E-N-U-G-E-N-T.com. John and Margaret, thank you very much for another interesting program, and I know we're going to get lots of good feedback on this one. Thanks for coming aboard. Thanks, Margaret. Thanks, John. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what a show, I have to say. Thanks for listening in. We'll be here tomorrow night.